Welcome to Virginia Outdoor Adventures Podcast. We bring outdoor adventure stories and recommendations from athletes, conservationists, authors, park guides, community leaders, and local business owners from across the Commonwealth. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. How do you plan to adventure in the new year? Today's guest, Michelle Milben, has resolved to spend more time in the outdoors and is gearing up for her next adventure. Michelle shares her experience shopping for the basics and discusses how to choose gear that is right for you. Be sure to check out the show notes for a listing of local outfitters and consignment shops across Virginia. Let's go. Michelle, Happy New Year and welcome to Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and to join you today.
What do you love about Virginia's outdoors?
Well, I will tell you, there is something unique about living in somewhere like Virginia that I think is not as unique across the rest of the country. You know, Virginia has such diverse terrain. You know, we have snow in Western Virginia, and then we could be walking on the beach with no sleeves on in Virginia Beach on the same day, right? I think that's something like really unique about living in one state where you don't have to drive 8 hours to go somewhere. You're just about 3 or 4 hour drive from just about anything. And I think that's one thing I've loved, but also too, like, you know, as a little girl, I've always loved the outdoors since I was a kid, and mostly because we never got to spend a lot of time outdoors. My mother was really big on reading and studying and having our noses in books and studying and practicing a craft. Like, I did ballet, violin, choir, piano, all my life growing up. So on Saturdays, when all the kids in the neighborhood were outside playing, we Milben kids were waking up, taking an encyclopedia my mother had already pulled that morning for us, opening it up to a page she'd marked and having to write, you know, an encyclopedia report on something she'd said, I want a book report on this thing, some important thing in history. And just, you know, we'd be writing at the kitchen table, looking out the window, seeing folks, you know, on their bikes outside or going down to the creeks. And we're just sitting there going, this is not the way life is supposed to be going. As a kid, you know, she really wanted us to be prepared for life and studied and things. But all I wanted to do was go outside, play in the rain. And we, you know, we couldn't do any of that until our morning work was done. And this is the weekend. My brother and I were the ones who were taking to the outdoors. We had creeks and backway paths in our neighborhood that we'd ride our bikes down. And some of these paths like could have killed us, but we would speed our bikes down, or we'd throw rocks and try to skip rocks, or always playing sports outside. And so when we even go on trips with our youth group in our church, I was the one canoeing and my sisters weren't, or I was the one loving whitewater rafting or going in the woods with our friends. Or even when I became a Girl Scout, I remember they had these little badges called, when I was a brownie, called try-its, and as long as you tried it, you could like get the badge versus like having to master or something. But they had these little badges with like birds and plants or bugs on them. And just to let you know, I had an obsession with bugs as a kid. It was very, very weird. But we had a big rock garden in our backyard, and I so badly wanted to get one of these little try-outs with a bug badge. So I would go get bugs in the backyard. Like, I'd pull up the rocks and get roly-polies and put in mason jars. I made my own homemade ant farm in a mason jar, which I'm happy to tell you about if you're interested. And I would just put bugs in these jars and put them under my bed, and my mom eventually found them and I got in huge trouble. But like, it just like, I've always had a fascination with birds and bugs. And so just with Virginia, there's so much terrain, there's so many different types of birds. So to me, like, knowing that everything's in such a reasonable distance, I've had this like, I'm talking about my childhood now, but like, I was always indoors because of like importance of studying and like having this desire to be out. I think that just Virginia has given me like that sense of, I can be my, you know, studied self all the time, which I have to be. But like, when I want to get outdoors, I don't have to go far. If I want a certain view or certain experience, I don't have to go far for it. And I think that's why I really love it. And I would argue to say, yes, Virginia has the most unique terrain in the entire country. And I'd want someone to fight me on that point.
It really does. You and I have been friends for years, and I feel like you're sort of just now getting into the outdoors in a more regular way. Is there something that's changed recently? What's made you decide that you want to spend more time outside?
Absolutely. And you're right on point. Cause yeah, you've known me for a while. You know, I love hiking. I love skiing. I love kayaking, but those were always things I did like once a year kind of things, you know, and I made them like really big excursions so that I could say I did it. And then that's it, you know. But, you know, over the last, I would say like 10 years doing those things, what I never really kind of correlated was that every time I did them, like if I went to Harper's Ferry whitewater raftering, if I went, you know, to Massanutten skiing, or if I just went kayaking on the Potomac or something, I always felt amazing after I did that thing. And so I always equated this summertime experience, you're going to feel amazing. This one little fall excursion for the foliage in Shenandoah, you're going to feel amazing. And I just didn't think you should do this in a repetitive manner, right? And not just make it, you know, a one-time excursion. And I will say, it's just the activity that I've really enjoyed increasing. You know, my previous life, I was a musician and a ballet dancer. I majored in music. And so I was always active, always moving. But then when I became a law student, you know, time became scant. My physical activity kind of went down just because, again, you're studying more. And so I found that my physical activity was lower, but I had to find little ways to just go, okay, I'm going to do this one activity. And I was justifying that. But I went on to go serve in government, which then my time became completely scant. I served in the House Judiciary Committee on Capitol Hill. I served in Obama's White House in two different roles. And I also was an attorney advisor in DOJ. And those jobs are sun up to sundown. So, you know, you really have to prioritize working out or staying out. But I will say, like, I still only kept up that once a year activity. But, you know, there's science that backs up being outdoors improves your health. There's a Harvard article that discussed, you know, how your vitamin D levels rise, your increase in happiness, or impacts even on focus and concentration, or even healing. And so for me, over the last like 3 or 4 years, I've really tried to focus much, much, much more on my mental and physical health, mostly because I did spend almost close to a decade kind of really just, you know, really engaging in a lot of hard work that was super important and amazing work for the American people, which I would never, ever regret. And I will do it again if asked. But I will say, I did put such a priority, like my mother did when I was a kid, get in your books and then you can play. I would be in my study, I would be in my work, and I would rarely have time for that activity. And so now, as an entrepreneur, I run an education technology company now called Explanation Kids. And that work is just about the same amount of hours, but even more. But I now can kind of make my schedule. So I've added increased running, outdoor yoga, and hikes, because again, those results of having better vitamin D levels, increases in happiness, focus and concentration, which is super important when you're raising money and creating a product. But you know, I had a really interesting, crazy kind of fluke surgery in November of 2019. I was traveling for work in Boston, raising money for my company. And I started having like random debilitating pain. So I found myself having emergency surgery in a city I'm not from. And the recovery took months. And so I was cooped up at home, healing from surgery for a couple months. And then boom, COVID-19 starts and the cases start rising. So from March to June, I was cooped up in the house again. So I just made the decision that when things open back up, I'm going to find a spot somewhere outside away from people. And I'm doing yoga every day. And I did. I even actually, we had some snow flurries before Christmas. And I was outside with my yoga mat with snow flurries all around me doing yoga just to spend that time outdoors, because I knew the studies show that even with healing, when you come back from a surgery, people who hike, people who are outdoors more, and keeping movement in their body and their life, that's just something that just translates into better health. But I would say too, for focus and concentration as an entrepreneur, you know, I've got investors who are really looking for me to grow this company. We have schools that we serve and parents that we serve with our content. And to make the best product and make the best decisions and have your brain in the best place to make those decisions, yeah, it's all about cultivating a place for your health to be in the right place. And I will say this as a side too, I had open heart surgery as a child. And so knowing that the American Heart Association, you know, cites that number one and number two killers of people are heart disease and stroke. And for African Americans, those numbers don't look good at all. And so for me, I really also prioritize more activity these days, not just because of COVID, which I think a lot of people are doing, trying to making sure they're staying outdoors because we've all been cooped up. But I think for me as well, just making those investments now in my life and keeping them going as I have as an artist before, keeping that going is going to have dividends I'll be able to pull from in the future for my health. And I think that's kind of just how I've kind of tried to translate enjoying and choosing to spend increased and more time outdoors than anything.
Well, selfishly as your friend, I'm really excited that you're going in this direction, because I have seen more of you in the last 6 months than I've seen more of you over the last 5 years.
I know. And I've loved it too. You've actually really been, I mean, seriously, a catalyst in kind of getting me to go. I will say this may sound silly, but I go outside and I love it. But you know, you see those serious hikers coming by you and you're like, man, they've got gear and they look amazing. And I just don't look like them. So I was like, I'm just not them. And I didn't realize, yes, you are. You just got to get out more. And you kind of really helped fuel that excitement to getting out more and feeling like, yeah, I am a hiker. Yeah, I am someone who is an outdoors person. So I owe you a thanks for sure, sister.
Oh, well, that's really sweet. And I'm really excited that you are getting into this more frequently. And so let's jump into the gear part, because the whole reason I asked you to be on this podcast is actually because of something that happened. When was that? A couple of weeks ago when you
Oh, and
texted
he's
me
like,
one morning about gear. I don't remember when exactly it was, but
yeah,
I
I was
woke
like,
up, there was this text message from you, and you said, "Hey, girl, I'm going to buy some gear. I'm on my way to REI right now. What do I do? What do I get?" And it spurred a whole interesting conversation and interaction while you were actually in the store.
That's
And it
right.
got me thinking, like, so many people are going to be starting off their new year setting resolutions and making goals to get outside more. And wouldn't it be great for everybody to be able to hear what the type of conversation that you and I had about how to
Yeah.
prepare for that? And so that's what I would love to do with you today, is to just sort of share with folks what you and I talked about, so that people who are thinking that they might need to gear up a little bit before they head outside can start to think about what it is that they might want to get or what they need.
Yeah. No, you actually, I will say thank you for being on the other end of that phone call. I was just thinking, we had, Jessica had taken us to a great hike in Sky Meadow. We'd gone right after the election and a group of girls, and it was so great. And I remember I was going to wear my hiking boots that I've had for like 7 years, but I hate them. I absolutely hate them. Every time I wear them, I'm not comfortable. I feel like I'm like picking up like cement on my feet every time I wear those things. And then I have hiking tennis shoes too, but just over the years, the worn on the bottom of them is just like, it's not good. So I just wore some, regular Asics tennis shoes. And I found myself though, like slipping all over the rocks every time we had to cross rocks on a stream. And then I was developing a blister on that. Those are shoes I run in all the time. So I was developing a blister while we were hiking, and I was like, this is not comfortable. And I just realized, if I'm going to do this more, I'm going to need to invest in gear that's going to make life easier and make life safe, because this is my therapy. This is my where I recharge. And I don't want to be worrying about, my feet are hurting, or focus on how cold I am when I'm trying to really enjoy being outside. So funny thing, I was actually at Ace Hardware that morning picking up some stuff that I had to get for the house, and ran into one of my dear friends who's a real estate agent, Jillian Keck Hogan, which you should look her up. She's great. But I was just talking to her about, yeah, I'm about to go run to Dick's Sporting Goods or Cabela's to go buy some boots, because I just told her about our hike. And she was, oh, don't go there. Go to REI. I'd never heard of REI. Never knew. I didn't even know where it was. So I just Googled where the closest one was and started driving there. And when I got there, I was like, I have no idea what to do in this store, because it just was like, it was just a lot. It wasn't,
It's
I
a
would say,
huge
like,
store.
it's a huge store. Thankfully, it's not like the Walmart super size, like Dick's Sporting Goods size, but it was still large enough to make me feel intimidated. So yeah, I got on the phone and I called you and texted you, and I was like, Jessica, I need to know what to do here, because I didn't know what the best hiking boot was, because I thought the boots I bought years ago were great. I hated those boots, and I still hate them, and I'll never wear them again. But I didn't know what the best boots to get. And then I'm, looking at coats and jackets, and I'm just like, I am not going to spend $250 for a jacket to go hiking. Like, that's just not, there's no, I'm an entrepreneur. That makes no sense. And even if I was still making like money I was making when I was a lawyer, that just makes no sense to me. So thankfully, you picked up the phone, and I was so grateful because you helped me figure out the great brands to buy. And then you helped me realize I don't need everything in the store. Like, there's, if this is what I'm trying to accomplish, here's what I need. And so, yeah, I think what made me decide to purchase that was really out of just necessity, but also annoyance. I was tired of my feet hurting after that one experience in tennis shoes. And then also too, a friend of mine, Kelsey, she always says, there's no such thing as bad weather, but there is such thing as being unprepared. And I just wanted to make sure that when I get out, I don't feel pain in my feet. I don't feel cold. And now I don't. I went for a hike, a solo hike last week, and I felt not one bit of cold, and it was 32 degrees outside. But I now have the right gear to make that work. And then also too, I love to pause and stop sometimes. And so if I want to pack something and keep things cold or keep things warm, I just have the right stuff now to be able to make sure when I get outside, I really can enjoy it.
So many people start off exactly that same way. And I get people asking me constantly, what's the first thing that I should buy? And I think you nailed it. I think it really needs to be boots or some sort of hiking shoe that's going to keep you comfortable, because once your feet start to hurt, you're done.
That's right.
Nobody
That's
wants to
right.
go any farther than that. And so, what was your experience when you walked into the store? I know REI's employees are usually really great and they're very knowledgeable, and there's so many different options, but what was your experience shopping for boots?
Yeah, so if you're ever going to encounter me as a customer, I can either be the most annoying customer or the most amazing customer, because I ask a lot of questions. I don't buy anything without really reading a lot of reviews anyways on them. And I just didn't have that luxury because I'd walked into a brand new store. A friend of mine, literally Jillian, had just told me 20 minutes before arriving at REI about REI. And so I asked a lot of questions, but thankfully the guy in the shoe section knew a lot about the shoes. And then calling you helped me know, okay, of these, like, you know, 10 different things, help me narrow them down to the top two or three. So that was really helpful. And I think also too, just knowing, like, for me, I'm not trying to buy a hiking boot every 6 months. I'm not trying to buy a jacket, you know, here in, we have four seasons in Virginia, thankfully. So I'm not going to need hoodies and other things like that, you know, for year round, but still I want them to be long lasting. So if I'm going to spend $90 on a cool hoodie, that thing better, like, be something I give to my daughter at 16, right? You know, and if I'm going to spend, you know, $100 on hiking pants, I need them to last a couple of seasons. So they were really helpful in helping me find, you know, where the right products were and the best ones were. And also too, I'm just be very frank with you. I'm an African-American woman. So we are built much differently than most people. And so some of the styles and things that are in that store also aren't built for shapely women like ourselves. So for me, like, I'm normally like a size, maybe, oh, I'm telling myself here, but yeah, if anyone wants to know, I'm a 6 or 8 in pants. But in REI, I'm a 12 because, again, like, I'm just built a certain way. So there were women there I was able to talk to who told me up front, like, hey, here's the way our pants are made. And they expressed their, you know, annoyance with it too, because some of them were built like me. So I really just, I felt like there were honest people who worked there. They knew what they were talking about. And then I was looking for, you know, jackets and things. And they are, when I say they're honest, there was a guy, he saw me looking at some of like the Patagonia stuff. And I just kind of like exclaimed it, oh my gosh, I'm going to spend $250 for this like thin jacket. I know I need it. He goes, actually, I think I saw something in the garage sale section. And this is where I'll tell you, Jessica, I struck gold. So we walk over to the garage sale section and lo and behold, the very same jacket I was looking at was in the garage sale section for $75. And I said, there's no way this is $75. He goes, and I said, is it damaged? And you look at the tag and the garage sale section, just for anyone asking or wanting to know, that's a section only for members of REI. REI is a co-op. And so you buy into it, you pay for a membership. And in this section, it's like return things always go to that section. So they like to resell them. And it's also good, I would say, for the environment to buy things secondhand as well. So absolutely, it's a good section for the environment to think about, I'm buying something and I'm not having something being thrown away or having to be reproduced. But this jacket literally had a quote unquote, like, I guess the thread from where the down was sewn in was like up. I mean, literally you could not even see it. And they were like, well, we're just going to knock off $150 practically off the price tag. I was happy. I was very happy to take that off their hands. And I have found so many great deals like that. Now my boots, I paid full price for the cool, I love that brand, by the way. It's a great brand. If you ever want to stay warm outdoors or want a great pant to put over a base layer, Kohl is my favorite new brand right now. But again, that section really was helpful to find things. But overall, because I ask a lot of questions, it was just a great place to know on the other side of this question is a smart person who knows what I'm talking about, who's going to answer honestly, or just walk me through the store to find the best thing. So here's a couple other things I've also done too. I do love Patagonia. I think it's a great brand. I mean, everyone's like, all Patagonian out. We have a great store here now in Old Town as well. But I do think they make good stuff that lasts long. There's a great site called Wornwear where you can find really, really great stuff. So like when I get ready for skiing, that's where I'm going hereafter to find either whether it's pants or gear. I'm definitely going there first. And then I most recently found really great stuff at my local consignment stores. I'm around Alexandria and you can go anywhere really. My neighborhood just happens to have really great stuff at all of our boutiques in our Old Town boutique district, but found great vests so that if I'm not needing a coat, but I just want something to kind of keep my chest warm. These things are like, you know, they mostly priced in a store, probably $150, $170, $20, $30. Mm. So yeah, I really believe if you're going to invest in the gear, which you should, if you can, definitely don't have to go for broke. You really can find really great deals if you're really hunting for them.
Right. And it's helpful to have good gear that is going to last a long time, because if that's you buy right. something that doesn't last, then you're throwing that out and that becomes an environmental problem as well.
Exactly.
But also I think I want to just make the point right now to the listeners who are probably thinking that somebody is paying me to endorse REI or Patagonia or Cool or any of these other, you know, product stores, brands. That is not true. I am not being endorsed by anyone. So this conversation that you and I are having are from our own experiences and our own opinions. And that's really it. Nobody's endorsing us. And this is completely straight talk.
That's right.
And although what you're hearing us say is how we really feel.
But yes, this is all straight from our experience. And the fact is, they were great experiences. So I'm happy to always pass along praise if it means something's doing well.
Remind me, which brand of boot did you end up getting? Was it Oboz?
I got Oboz, and you had mentioned I think it was Marin or Merrill.
Merrell, yeah. Well, Merrell. Some people pronounce it Merrell, and some people pronounce it Merrell. I'm not actually sure which it is, but I love that brand.
I'm from Oklahoma, I'll butcher every name, so it's all good.
I think I have like 6 pairs of boots from that brand. First of all, they're incredibly comfortable compared to a lot of other boots, because some boots are really stiff, and these boots wear more like a walking shoe or a running shoe. They're just very cushiony, and they fit around the ankle really well. Because I mean, some boots, you really do have to make sure that you try them on and that you do multiple laps around the store while you're trying them on, because they can rub against your ankle or they can rub against your heel. I've never had a pair of Merrells do that. They fit right out of the box perfectly every single time. I never get a blister. I never have to worry about breaking them in. It's just out of the box, onto my feet and onto the trail. And I absolutely love that. Plus, they're affordable compared to a lot of other boots. I know some boots are like start in the $160 to $200 range. And the Merrells are like usually around $100, $120.
Yeah.
And if you get them on sale, I've gotten them as cheap as $75 brand new. And then like you mentioned, the one thing I love about REI is because they're a co-op, if you purchase something that doesn't work out for you and then you return it, they will take it back, no questions asked. But then all those items that they take back that have been worn maybe once or twice end up in their garage rack or on their clearance rack or during a special sale, and you can buy boots for a fraction of the price because somebody else wore them one time and decided it didn't work for them. That is such a great opportunity.
I would say the best deal I got, those boots of course were phenomenal. I was a ballet dancer for almost 18 years, and so I need good things for my ankles, good arch support, and I do not want to feel cold on the ground. If I'm walking in a boot, I better not feel like any cold. And that thing, I could walk in, I felt like I could walk for hours and not feel one bit of pain. But then also I like to, my last hike, I could have taken the path, but I love walking on the rocks near the river, especially near the Potomac. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking like I'm crawling over stuff, but it's fun to me. It's like a better workout too, because you're having to hike up things and jump off things. But that boot is best for my ankles because I like to have much more of like the kind of like, you know, take the path less traveled kind of hiking. But then there's a brand called, and I don't know if I'm saying the name correct, it's CHACOS. That's another brand I was looking at for the summer. I was like, okay, I'm gonna look to these like really great hiking sandals, which they could run you about $70 to $120. Found them at REI last week for $23. Someone just returned them. They were in perfect shape and still had the tag on. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I grabbed those up and now I'm ready to hike in the summer, you know? So it's for me, just finding that thing that works for whatever your body type needs. Some people need more arch support. Some people don't like, I know some people who do not like the ankle boots type. They need just a tennis shoe. But like for me, it was just easy to go, here's what I need. And there was a store that was responsive and smart. That's the biggest thing. They were smart about it.
There's a lot of things to consider when you're purchasing boots, and it's not just whether or not it fits, but also, do you want them to be very breathable, or do you want them to be waterproof, or do you want them to be insulated?
Yes.
You know, so you really have to think about what kind of hiking are you going to be doing most? Like I have a pair of boots that are very light and I bought them to wear in the desert when I was out west hiking in Utah and California. I knew that that's what I needed. And so I bought it specifically for that. And now I still wear them sometimes in the summer, but what I find myself wearing most often are boots that have a higher ankle support because it's so rocky in Virginia, and they're waterproof because you just never know.
Exactly.
You know, even if it hasn't rained for days around here, it can still be muddy in some areas, or you end up crossing a stream or the water is much higher than you expect. Or, you know, there have been times I've been trying to cross a stream and my foot slips off a rock and I am a couple inches deep in the water and my foot has stayed dried because I was in a waterproof hiking boot when I otherwise might not have needed it. And then I also have insulated boots. So this time of year, when it snows, or if it's just straight up cold or pouring rain and cold, I can be both warm and dry. And all those things are factors to consider when you're shopping for a boot. What are you most likely going to be hiking out in so that you can look for the right thing for you?
That's exactly right. And funny story, in my hike last week, I was coming up the pass from like where the river like dumps out, and it was really, it rained the day before too, and it's kind of muddy and everything. And so there's a group of guys coming my way, and I was by myself. And so there's a, like a, to get around them, I had to walk into the mud, and they're like, oh, be careful, it's real muddy over here. I looked at those guys and I was like, this is why I bought the boots, and walked right through the mud and then walked right through the little part of the river that opens up to where the Potomac like becomes deeper. There's still like about probably like an inch or two you can walk through, walk through the water, like, you know, Jesus walking on water or something, but it cleaned off the mud and walked right back on the rocks. And they just looked at me the whole time, like, she's walking through like a ton of mud, but I'm like, this is why I bought these boots, to be able to navigate wherever I want to go. So you're exactly right. Really knowing those specs of what you're looking for and what you're going to be doing. Again, they were able to answer those questions and point me in the right direction. Well, actually they were, and you were, sister, able to point me in the right direction.
We talked about boots a lot because I think that's always the number one thing that people need to purchase when they're thinking about what type of gear they need. But then after that, there's all kinds of different options. And, you know, oftentimes I tell people to get a pack or I tell people to get hiking pants. What did you go for next?
The same day I found the boots, I also found a backpack. And so I was looking at, REI has tons of backpacks from their own store, co-op brand, to others. And so I wanted something that was, again, like I could put things in for like a long-term hike, or just something that was lightweight for if I just wanted to, you know, bring a bottle of water and my journal or something. You know, I do a lot of, there's a lot of reasons why I go out. Sometimes I'm going out for, to go with friends, and sometimes I'm going out just to actually just take some time and to think. And so I will bring a journal or something with me. And so that, plus also having an extra pair of socks and just other things to be, like my friend Kelsey said, being prepared. And so I was looking at the bags, and I'll be honest with you, I was like, I have no desire to spend $100 on a backpack. I already have a backpack for work, which I did bring on one hike with you, and I hated it the whole time. It was not comfortable. It just is my work backpack. And so I, again, went back to that garage sale section, found an Osprey backpack that was $118, and I got it for $50. And it had a, it did have a water hydration pack with it too. That still was under the price of what it would have been on the rack. And it looked brand new. There was no, the guy used it once, it said on the tag, and just didn't like it. Well, I'm glad he didn't like it, because I got a deal. Mm-hmm. So that was really great. And then the next thing I wanted to find, because it's getting colder again, I just, in the past, it was like, I'm hiking once a year and that's it. But now that I'm being more intentional about it, I was like, okay, if I'm wearing a base layer, I tried once in a base layer and it felt okay, but I wanted to make sure I could find pants that could go maybe on top of that. So if I ever got dirty or fell down or slipped and fell in mud or something. And actually this came from an adventure you and I had recently. Jessica and I were hiking in Mason Neck, and Jessica, of course, can tell you mushrooms and birds and snakes, you name it. She can give you a download on it, which I wish I could be that person, but you're so good at that. But you looked in the sky 9 feet above us on a tree that had fallen over and saw these oyster mushrooms. And me being my adventurous self, I was like, I think I could climb that tree and go get those mushrooms. And just
on
for the
that day, I was thinking more crazy than adventurous, but go ahead.
I was like, let's do it. And also, just for the listeners, we did get the mushrooms. Jessica did make an amazing mushroom barley soup, which she just shared with me today. And it was fantastic. When I was climbing that tree, I was so uncomfortable in my yoga pants, and they're Danskin. I love Danskin pants. They're so comfortable. They're great base. They're a great base layer. So I was warm, but I was just like, this is not for climbing trees. And so that was, I know this sounds silly, but I said, I want to find a pant that if I'm in water, if I fall down in mud, or if I'm just out in the cold, it's doing all the jobs for me, waterproof, wind resistant, all that jazz. So I did try on a few pairs that the store had shown me, but I'm also, I'm not the kind of girl that needs to be out and I need to look cute, but I'm going to be honest with you. Like I want to look like Michelle, and I want to look like myself. And so some of the pants look like they were like ski pants. And I was like, I don't want to be looking like I'm wearing ski pants on a mountain. So I found these really great, cool pants. They look like yoga pants, but they're on the outside, wind and water resistant. And they just, they're good luck tearing them. I mean, they really are heavy duty pants. So on my last three hikes, I've worn those on top of my base layer just to make sure, of course, I'm staying warm. But I did fall on my last hike with some girlfriends. We were trying to jump over a log, which I'm always climbing over trees. I don't know why. But we could have gone under the log, but I was like, no, let's go over the log. And I came over it, slipped on the mud when I came down. And all I had to do was just wipe them off and keep going. So went for that next, and then some good socks to make sure I'm not gonna have blisters and things. They're just really sturdy, good socks. I also got a headlight recently, and I'm very much looking forward to going through the Blue Ridge Tunnel soon. So that's gonna come in really, really handy to have a headlight to go through that dark tunnel that I think is about a mile and a half. So that'll be great. And yeah, I think the next, if I'm thinking like, what's my wish list? That was like the, okay, you need this stuff kind of right now. I think my wish list next is an inflatable kayak and maybe a tent. That's on my, I'd say what's on my next wish list, what I want to do next. Those are my next two purchases, I think.
I shared with you earlier that I bought an inflatable kayak at the beginning of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. That was the smartest purchase I ever made. But within a few weeks of me buying it, it was unavailable. Just like lakes and fire pits and all the other things that people tried to buy when the pandemic started, it was all these manufacturers were overwhelmed and couldn't keep up with the demand. And so finding an inflatable kayak at a reasonable price these days is a little more challenging. So hopefully when things start to go, you know, closer back to normal, you might have better luck finding one. But I think right now is going to be really tough for you. You know what? Something you said earlier, Rae, just reminded me. You were talking about the cool hiking pants that you bought. I bought a pair of cool hiking pants probably 8 years ago, and I swear I still wear them. There's maybe a couple of snags on them, but other than that, those suckers really hold up.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
They really do. And the other thing that I recommend to people when they're asking me why they need hiking pants as opposed to just shorts or yoga pants is if you're walking on a trail that's overgrown, you will get snagged.
Exactly.
And or scraped if your skin is exposed. And the other thing you need to think about, especially in Virginia, are ticks. And ticks will transfer from the brush that you're walking past to your body very quickly if you're not covered. So even in summer, and I know some people can't even stand the thought of wearing long pants in summer, but they do make very breathable, lightweight hiking pants. And those keep your legs covered and without being tight. So you've got breathability and there's, you know, airflow in between your skin and the fabric, but it, you know, protects you from ticks. It protects you from thorns and scratches and scrapes and snags and things like that. So there's more than one reason to wear hiking pants other than protecting your legs from when you're scaling up the side of a fallen tree to get some oyster mushrooms.
No, that's exactly right. Sun exposure is also really, really important to me and making sure that I'm wearing, you know, of course, like SPF and wearing other things, but sometimes just finding the right gear that also just going to keep you covered for the sake of just protecting your skin. That's a really big priority for me now. And I think just going to the summer, I'm so glad you mentioned the pants for the summer. They have those even right now at REI. They're super lightweight, but I'm going to probably be going that route as well. I'll definitely keep those hiking sandals going, but just trying to protect myself from the sun exposure. I get enough of it as it is doing yoga. I swim a lot. So just lessening all those things is super important for our health as well. And then keeping ourselves just kind of in the best place for the future for our skin. It's not a bad idea to look in those things and invest in them for sure.
Yeah, gosh, you make such a great point with the sun. I wasn't even thinking that because now it's January. But yeah, you do need to keep your skin covered. And there are some really great long sleeve, lightweight shirts out there. There are sun gloves that you can wear. There are all different types of hats, some of which even have face guards and neck guards. And we could do a whole nother segment. You know, that's what we'll do. You and I will do this again in 6 months when it's summer and we'll talk about all those things then. But
that's right.
I think we've covered a lot of basics. We've covered boots. We've covered pants, packs. Oh, you know, I wanted to mention too about packs is that a lot of people think that carrying the regular backpack will work. But as you said, that was really uncomfortable for you. And I think one of the benefits of carrying an actual hiking pack is that it has the waistband. And what that does is it transfers the weight from your neck and your shoulders to your waist. And so you don't have that strain on your shoulders when you're hiking, which is a huge deal when you're going multiple miles. You're always looking down because you need to know where you're stepping, and to have a weight on your back that's pulling you backwards at the same time that you're trying to lean forwards and look down. I've actually gotten migraines from that in the past. And so getting a really good pack that transfers the weight to your waist takes that strain off of your shoulders and off your neck. And that can be a game changer.
That's exactly right. And I would say, I just would underscore for anyone like who's listening to this podcast and thinking, okay, here's Michelle, this novice is now like buying all this stuff. I've got to buy all this stuff. That is not the point of getting outdoors. If you got to buy a bunch of stuff to participate in nature, to experience all these beautiful views and places that Virginia has to offer, does not mean you've got to own stuff to do it. You can get out there in your own way. But I think for me, I am saying that making this investment is just making it easier because it's now not just a hobby or an activity. It's now my lifestyle. Whatever you're getting yourself into, if you're making it a part of your lifestyle, it's going to require a little bit of investment. But I don't want anyone to think that you've got to like purchase all these things to be a part of a community of people who are enjoying the outdoors. But to the backpack point, I will say that made me quickly go, we're changing the game. Because I did have a headache after carrying that backpack. Because I was constantly pulling it. Yeah. That. Well, I actually thought like, did I go on the wrong hike? Did I not drink enough water? Did I not feel good? Like, what was that all about? Because we went to a winery afterwards. And I was like, I think I'm going to hold off on the wine just because I was like, my head's not feeling good. But then I've not had one headache ever on a hike since then carrying that backpack and now carrying the new pack. But I think for me, it's like utility. So I want hand sanitizer quickly. So they've got little latches where I can quickly just put a carabiner or something on it and latch on my, you know, hand sanitizer quickly. I always carry a Swiss Army knife. Just because as a woman, I do want to feel safe and I carry some things to make sure I feel safe and they're quickly accessible. So on the pack, when you latch it across your waistline, and then also you can latch it across your chest too, there's little places I can just put something on. It's not bothering me being latched on there, but just being connected quickly, if I do need to grab something, it's right there for me. And then also too, I would say that the reason why I like the Osprey packs was that hydration pack that comes with it as well was super, super great because it tucks right in the backpack. And for me, the biggest annoyance I had the first time I went hiking without using the hydration pack was that I had to keep reaching behind me, grabbing my water bottle, unscrewing it. You know, that's just like, that's more time and minutes I don't want to spend. I'm looking at the outdoors. I'm looking how beautiful things are. And I don't want to waste any minutes trying to do stuff that's not related to why I'm outdoors. So that pack has a great hose on it that just can latch. It's got magnets on it that I can latch it straight to either the waistband, or I can get the magnetic strip on the chest band. And when I'm ready to drink water, I just grab the hose and you don't have to take off anything. You can just squeeze it. Water comes out and you're done for the day and you keep moving on.
Thank you so much for your earlier point about you don't need to purchase all of these things in order to participate in the outdoors. There's plenty of people who are out there hiking in their running shoes and their mesh shorts or whatever it is that they have. And if that's what you have, then use it. And
that's right.
I highly encourage that. And we all started there. You know, we all did.
Right.
The idea of gear is great in that it can make your experience better, but it can also be a bottomless money pit. You have to watch. I mean, you walk into REI and sometimes I've gone in there to pick up one thing that's like, you know, $30 and I come out $300 later. And
preach,
it just,
sister. That's
it's just, it's so easy to walk in and go, oh, I could totally use that. And I can totally use that. And so you don't need all of those things. You can get by with whatever you've got and you should get by with what you've got and then slowly build towards some of the other things if you're noticing that you need them as you go. And that's what I encourage people to do. Start with boots, then maybe start with the pack, then think about hiking pants. If you're using all three of those things regularly, you're going to start to figure out what you need, what you want to make the experience better. And if you're doing that, that means that it's going to be worth the investment for you.
And you're exactly right. You can get into this little, for me, every time you shop at REI, your receipt is basically a free entrance into a Virginia park.
Uh-huh.
And so
Virginia
State Park. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so I found it interesting that every time I would get the receipt, I'm like, well, this was worth it. And I'm like, Michelle, you walked in here needing one thing and now you have three things. Like, we got to calm down here. But that receipt of going, I've got a free Virginia State Park entrance though. It's like, it kind of makes you
$5.
I know, really. It's like $5 to $7. Like, are you serious, Michelle? Really? So no, it can get you twisted around.
Yes. And another option that people should explore are consignment shops. And there are consignment shops
Absolutely.
For outdoor gear. And I have listed some of them in past episodes, and I will definitely list some more of them in the show notes for this episode. And anyone who's listening, if you know of a great outdoor consignment shop, please, please, please email it to me at jessica@virginiaoutdooradventures.com, because I would love to make a list and post that so that people can have access to it. So if you know of a consignment shop anywhere around the state that you really like, please let me know about it because I will share it with other folks. There is one in Arlington, Second Ascent Consignment Shop. That's what it's called. That's a great one. So you should check that one out. It's on Washington Boulevard, I believe. That's such a great place, not only to find things that are cheap, but to sell things that you think you're not going to use anymore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, like I said, they get stuck in this like bottomless pit of buying gear. And then they realize that that's not what they needed, or it's not the version of what they wanted or it didn't work out for them, and then they don't know what to do with it. And people end up with gear in their attic, in their basement or their garage or whatever, and it's just laying around and they don't do anything with it. So look for opportunities where people are selling those things, either at a consignment shop or on Craigslist or these Facebook like yard sale groups. Like, there's really a lot of opportunities out there to find used things that are hardly used at all. Lots of people buy a bike with the best intentions. They ride it one time and they never ride it again. And
yeah,
up on Craigslist. So keep your eye out for those types of opportunities. It doesn't have to break the bank.
That's exactly right. And looking again at the environment and our responsibility to take care of it. There's nothing better than being able to find some of those resale opportunities. Or if you do have gear, instead of throwing it out, finding ways to sell it back or donate it somewhere where someone else can be able to use it again. Those are just ways that we are just saying to the planet, we love you. And that's super important.
Absolutely. What a great note to end on. This has been so much fun, Michelle. I'm really glad that you agreed to do this with me.
No, I can't thank you again. I know not everybody in America is going to get the chance to be able to call you on speed dial when they're in a pickle at REI, but I really will say I'm so grateful that you answered the call and were able to help me figure out just kind of my first starting gear in kind of this way. And then also too, just inviting us to come out and enjoy the outdoors the way you do has made it even more exciting when I go with my friends or go on solo hikes. So thank you for doing this, and always happy to talk to you about gear or hiking or anything. It's always fun.
So do you have any big outdoor adventures planned in the near future?
So the next place is definitely going to be probably Mount Pleasant. It's a little south of Charlottesville. Mostly too, the views there from the west or the east summit are stunning. And yeah, it's definitely worth a hike for the drive, but also definitely worth a hike for the views too. So that's definitely one I'm definitely looking forward to. And then Stony Man. I've definitely hiked a lot in the Shenandoah region, but never been to Stony Man. So that's one of the next ones I'm looking forward to. And anywhere else you tell me to go. You've got a great list already since you've been to every single Virginia State Park. So I'll take your cues or recommendations anywhere. But those are the two I definitely have my sights for that my friends and I have been talking about. And thanks again for inviting me. This has really been great.
Yeah. So let's do this again in a few months and talk about summer gear.
Let's do it. I'm excited. Let's go. By then I'll have an inflatable kayak at least. So
then we'll be kayaking together. Until then, Michelle, adventure on.
Thanks, Jessica.
If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us. Rate, review, and share with a friend. Follow us on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you may listen to podcasts. Virginia Outdoor Adventures is hosted by me, Jessica Bowser. Cover art illustrated by Olivia Smith. Editing by Alexander Valencia. Executive production by Steph Garrett. We love to hear from our listeners. Contact us on our website, virginiaoutdooradventures.com. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, adventure on.